This is Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer's Report on a story of organizing in New Orleans too good not to share. The lead story in one New Orleans paper, The Advocate, is about the harassment that is tragically commonplace in New Orleans' restaurant and service industry. Another New Orleans paper, The Times-Picayune, in a several-part feature, had exposed the culture of harassment at the Besh Restaurant Group, employing more than 1,000 workers in 11 restaurants in New Orleans and around the country, leading to celebrity chef John Besh's resignation. Given all that, it was a relief to read a story that linked organizing and the service industry, so I'll share this piece in the New York Times by B. Wilson, called The Dinner That Fueled the Civil Rights Freedom Fighters. Like any good soup, a bowl of Louisiana gumbo can uplift you even when there is nothing to feel uplifted about. On September 17, 1960, a group of students in New Orleans, three black and one white, sat down at McCrory's, whites-only lunch counter, and refused to leave until they were served. If students were convicted of criminal mischief, though that would be overturned by the Supreme Court in Lombard v. Louisiana in 1963, a key moment in the fight against segregation. But before this historic meal came another. The Senate was organized a few days earlier over spicy gumbo at Dookie Chase's restaurant. Gumbo makes people braver. It satisfies the soul and gets you talking, says Leah Chase, the legendary African-American chef of Creole cuisine who's still cooking at 94. Honey, this is where they planned the thing, she says over the phone from New Orleans, her voice warm and musical. She remembers the young activists who belonged to CORE, the Congress of Racial Equality, eating a series of lunches and dinners that September in her restaurant's upstairs room. The leader was Rudy Lombard, 21, a fiery orator. Also there were Cecil Carter, Jr., another black student, Lanny Goldfinch, a white student, and Aretha Castle, a courageous black human rights campaigner whose mother, Virgie, was the bartender at Dookie Chase. It was illegal at that time in the South for blacks and whites to eat in the same restaurant, but this danger didn't deter the CORE students, who often spoke of sacrificing their lives for the cause. They shared seafood gumbo thickened with filet powder, ground dried sassafras leaves, fried chicken, and Lombard's favorite Italian salad of salami, capers, and olives with Lolas Edward Eli, a local lawyer. Over the food, there was intense discussions about what they could and couldn't do to advance their cause within the law. The activists toasted their plans with glasses of Barks root beer. According to Chase, when they were working, they didn't drink so much as a bottle of beer. In 1960, Dookie Chase was one of the very few dining places in New Orleans where black people could eat with heavy cutlery on pressed linen tablecloths. Growing up, Lombard once told a radio interviewer he dreamed of eating somewhere like that. His mother worked as a cook for a rich family, and she worked across the street from a fancy restaurant called Pascal Manali. As a boy, Rudy longed to eat there. Chase gave him and the other CORE members a taste of that restaurant ease. He once said he saw the restaurant as an incubator of black people's aspirations. Another activist who regularly ate there was Raphael Cashmere, Jr., an emeritus history professor at the University of New Orleans. Cashmere remembers meetings of the NAACP, whose office was a few blocks away, where people got all steamed up. But as soon as everyone was sitting down with Chase's gumbo, you'd be laughing again. This gumbo was like the food of Louisiana grandmothers, Cashmere recalls, except that you could get it 24 hours and it was cheap. Sometimes, in an extra generous mood, Chase didn't charge at all. She fed many of the freedom riders who took a series of perilous bus trips through the South in 1961, trying to use whites-only restrooms and restaurants along the way. Sometimes the activists arrived at the restaurant dirty, right out of jail. Poor darling, she says, I used to feel so sorry for them. Chase sent them around the corner to Virgie's house to take a bath, and then she fed them. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.